Bill and Stephanie, age 64 and 63, have $1 million saved for retirement. But is their allocation invested too aggressively for this phase of life? Stay tuned to get the red, yellow, green light assessment on their portfolio mix. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it is our goal to help you simplify and optimize your retirement plan.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm trusted by thousands of individuals, and we work with people all across the U.S. with a mission of helping you focus more on your life, worry less about your money, and coming to you with another excellent case example today.
Yeah, we have Bill and Stephanie today, Jet. They've got that magic number, $1 million saved up for retirement. They've got a major concern that's keeping them up at night. At the end of the day, it's bothering them a little bit. Is, do we have too much risk? Are we too aggressive at this stage in life? And what could that impact be to our retirement?
Yeah. Awesome question of anyone to ask of their own situation. Sometimes I feel like people don't ask that question of their current portfolio or their current strategy enough. And usually what we see is market volatility or something bad happening is what triggers some people to go, ooh, maybe we should look at this a little bit more. Yeah. It's one of the biggest mistakes that you can make, I think, is not getting an assessment of this done regularly enough, and or just having misalignment with what you think your actual tolerance is for risk versus what the portfolio's allocation actually says.
Yeah.
Or what it's actually positioned for. So
yeah,
we'll talk more about those ideas as we continue with this case example.
Yeah. And if you find today's video helpful, make sure that you like, share, subscribe. Also, we're going to talk a little bit as we go along after the video. We have tons of resources at riseinretirement.com. So stay tuned here. But Jet, you know, one of the, you mentioned understanding your risk. You know, another thing that I see often is let's use target funds, you know, target mutual funds. There's so many times where an individual says, oh yeah, my risk is good. I'm in a, you know, target 2025 mutual fund or, you know, whatever it may be, which is ultimately saying, hey, we're targeting retirement in 2025. Well, when you kind of peel those mutual funds back and look inside, they can still have a lot of equity exposure, which can obviously still put a lot of your money at risk when you don't even understand it. So I think a key on risk is making sure that you're working with somebody who is talking to you the proper way, showing you what your portfolio could stand to lose.
Yeah. And as we stated earlier, 70-30 equities to fixed income allocation is what Bill and Stephanie in this example have their portfolio positioned for. And you've heard of that 60-40, 70-30, 80-20. There's nothing necessarily wrong with approaching your allocation that way.
Right.
But I will argue that it's kind of a tired method. It's been around for so long. It's not the only way that you can do this. And as we go through the case details of this example, I think that there's a better way that Bill and Stephanie could approach this and view it.
Yeah.
That might help them with some of the issues that they are going to encounter or potentially encounter based on the way that this case is developed. So
agreed. So Bill and Stephanie are age 64 and 63 respectively. They are retired. They have been for a couple of years now. As I mentioned, they have $1 million saved up, 700,000 in an IRA between the two of them, or I'm sorry, IRA
IRAs.
Accounts.
Yep.
Yeah. 200,000 is in a joint brokerage account. And they have about $100,000 sitting in cash and CDs, you know, just kind of reserves, laddered CDs, things of that nature. So the 70-30 split is on the IRA and the joint account. So that $900,000 has a 70% equity exposure, 30%. And so their goal is they want to make sure they have their money invested properly and appropriately based on their age, income needs, you know, you name it, all of that. Based on some recent market volatility and media and, you know, the headlines, they start wondering, hey, do we have too much? And they rely heavily on their portfolio from an income standpoint.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of gives you the rundown. They consider themselves, they describe themselves as, and I love this one. Mm-hmm. You know, I always joke about this one. Moderate to moderately conservative is their risk profile.
Meaning if you ask them, hey, what's your risk tolerance? Yeah. That's what they would describe themselves as. Yes.
Correct. Okay. And there's where you can get some misalignment real quick working with a financial advisor, because moderate means something different to every person out here. Conservative means something different to everybody out there. You know, conservative can range from, I don't want to lose any principal, to I just want good dividend paying stocks. Well, there's a big difference between those two. So using more than words is really important to describe your risk tolerance. Yeah.
The objective, you know, putting this all into perspective for you is that market volatility has caused them to go, okay, hold on a second. Maybe we should get a second opinion on this. And that's a really good step for them, because they could come out of that second opinion with the answers that they're looking for, and maybe a affirmation that, hey, I think this is the way we should have our portfolio situated. Or they could come out of it in the example like we're going to describe, and I think that there's a better approach and something that they could do that would help them deal with future market volatility in a way where they don't become worried overnight. Yeah. That their retirement plan is going to fall apart on them and things are going to go rocky really quickly. So let's move to the income side of this, because as you guys know, if you've watched our Rise in Retirement show before, everything generally in retirement comes back to income need or lack thereof from your portfolio. And we firmly and strongly believe that focusing on that first will help us with any person that we meet develop a more robust and comprehensive approach to how the dollars are invested.
Yeah. And so, with Bill and Stephanie, they need $9,000 per month
to live.
That covers all of their hobbies, bills, fits their lifestyle. They have no pensions coming in. So it's just simply Social Security of just under $2,000 a month for Bill, about $1,600, a little more, for Stephanie. Meaning there's a shortfall of about $5,400 a month, you know, $65,000 per year that they're taking off of that $1 million, you know, or 900,000.
Call it the 900, because
they got more retirement dollars. Exactly. So we're sitting at a 7.2% withdrawal rate when we think about the retirement dollars, the 900,000 that's invested. So how do you approach, you know, now we understand the income shortfall, Jet. That's a starting point for everybody. Mm-hmm. How do we talk to an individual about what their risk should look like?
Well, I think you have to separate two ideas. Most people think of this as one. There's risk tolerance, your stomach for risk, how you react to volatility. At what point do you start getting heartburn that keeps you up at night because your accounts are falling and your statements are red? Versus risk capacity, two totally separate things. Capacity says, based on your scenario, your withdrawal rate, you know, where your dollars are invested, how much you have, how much can you afford to take risk with? That's I'll use that as the layman's terms way of defining it. And so I think you start there with a couple like this. You have to talk about, let's understand your personal tolerance. I need to know, as the manager of your wealth, when is the point in a downturn or a bad market scenario that you could potentially start making irrational or emotional decisions. Mm-hmm. That could hurt you even more if you have an advisor who's not going to talk you off the ledge, if that's the right thing to do. They don't know what their risk capacity is. And in reviewing their portfolio allocation, the 70-30 doesn't line up with their personal definition of moderate to moderately conservative.
Right.
They actually have more money at risk and more a wider standard deviation, which is a fancy way of saying, hey, you could actually lose a lot more than you thought you could in a really bad market.
Yeah.
And so that's the first problem.
In their words, it's moderately aggressive, not correct, conservative. So I want to make a point, though, like on risk capacity. So if you have an individual, let's say Bill and Stephanie had this $1 million and they had Social Security coming in, they had pensions coming in that covered all of their expenses. They have high risk capacity then, right?
I mean, by definition, they have 100% risk capacity.
Correct. They can take risk on those dollars because whether the market goes up or down, their income is taken care of.
Yes.
So they have more of a longer term approach on those dollars. So, you know, the individual who has needs more off their portfolio is going, whether their risk tolerance is high or not, their risk capacity is going to be a little lower because they need to live off of those dollars.
And I think a final point we want to make on this too, switching gears a little bit, is we've talked before about having purpose to your investments, your buckets, how you allocate the $900,000 that this couple has positioned for retirement investments. Mm-hmm. It's a 70-30, which means that doesn't matter whether it's the joint account, which is non-qualified money, or it's the IRA accounts, all of their money is aligned. You know, there's multiple IRA accounts, there's a joint account. So technically there's three different account numbers here, but all three account numbers are invested exactly the same at that 70-30 allocation. Right. So when it comes to, hey, we have this shortfall, $65,000 a year, they got to pull. It's just pull it from the portfolio. It's all the same.
It's pulling pro rata, yeah, if you will. It's basically pulling some of it off of the equity, some of it off of the bonds, which we don't feel is a really, you know, great approach. So in order to, you know, address that type of concern, I mean, what do we do?
Well, before we go there, here's a good spot to stop and say, hey, we talked about RiseInRetirement.com earlier. Head over to RiseInRetirement.com. Look at the valuable resources that we have there. If you want to talk about your specific scenario, 30-minute phone call. We can set you up with a 30-minute phone call with an advisor here on our team. It's easy to request. You go there, put your information in, we'll reach out to you and get something scheduled on the calendar. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of get a second opinion on a high level. If you're not quite ready for that 30-minute phone call, there's some free guides and things that we can offer to you that are valuable that you could pick up some knowledge from. So make sure you head over there, RiseInRetirement.com, when this video is over, and check some of that stuff out. Going to our red, yellow, green light assessment. Yeah. Withdrawal rates higher than we'd like it to be. Their tolerance isn't in line with what they want it to be versus how the portfolio is managed. Their withdrawal rate being high has that sequence of market return risk kind of front and center. If they have a really bad go here, things could get hairy in a short order. Let's talk about as a solution. Now, they're a yellow light here.
Yeah.
If they did nothing else, the withdrawal rate alone is enough to cause the yellow light. Now, 7.2% withdrawal rate isn't the end of the world. Some of that depends on what's your legacy goals. Are you willing to spend this portfolio down over time? Are you not concerned about how much is left over? You can have a higher withdrawal rate if that's the case. I think that they can take control by creating what we'll call a purpose-based allocation. So I want to talk just for a minute about how we would approach that.
Yeah, I mean, some of this tax planning comes into play too, because there are different tax status. There's IRAs, there's, you know, the joint brokerage accounts, which could have capital gains. But, you know, what I would look at doing for Bill and Stephanie is saying, hey, number one, let's understand where income's coming from for the next 12 months. Let's get a bucket, you know, and fill that bucket up with at least 6 to 12 months worth of income in a pretty much a cash alternative,
yeah,
right? Hey, we know if the market continues to stay volatile and goes down, that it's not impacting income for the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time segmentation. Now maybe we build out a bucket where it's going to cover years 2 through 5. We don't have to be in cash, but maybe that's where we start using some of that bond allocation, for example, where, hey, I know rather than selling pro rata and we're going to just sell off some equities here and there and pull from here. No, we know whether it's either IRA money or we know it's coming from the joint and it's in lower risk items. That way, if markets are up or markets are down, we're not touching the equities. We're able to just pull off of that more fixed income type of stuff. We could use CD ladders. We could do a lot of different things there. Mm-hmm. You know, just that alone, there's two buckets that cover 4 years of income.
Yeah. And yeah, the theory there is when you've got 4 years in your example of income kind of set aside where you know market volatility and scenario isn't going to affect it the way an equity allocation would be affected, you're eliminating that that idea that when markets are down, maybe I shouldn't be pulling from this portfolio.
Correct.
Because in retirement, you want consistency, you want stability, you want those paychecks to come in, and you don't want situations to affect that.
Yep.
So you have to position your portfolio appropriately with that same thought in mind. Yep. You've just given all of the dollars that aren't in those first two buckets that you described, all their leftover money, you've given it 4 years of the ups and downs and the dealing with the market. You're stacking the chips on your side to be able to deal with that in a more rational type of manner, because you need time in some cases to win when you're investing aggressively.
Time builds risk capacity at the end of the day. So it's really important that you take a look and build out your own risk capacity, understand it, what it means.
So let's just jump to our key takeaways to finalize this case example. Mine is simple. It's purpose-based allocation. In their situation with the higher withdrawal rate and the more robust income need, I think they can remove some of the risk of the market affecting the way they spend by having some buckets that are aligned on the front side in a much more conservative manner.
Yeah.
So that they can spend confidently in any market scenario.
Yeah. And mine is simply, you know, understanding what you have. Plain and simple. It's if you don't know roughly what your portfolio, your retirement dollars would potentially lose in a worst case type of year, down year, then you should get a second opinion. You should understand that before you have to get reactive. We want people to be proactive with a plan.
Yep.
It takes understanding your plan to be proactive. So,
yeah. And I mentioned at RiseInRetirement.com, you can schedule that 30-minute phone call with an advisor, complimentary, no cost, no obligation. That's a good first step. If you're thinking, man, I like what these guys are saying and how they're telling me to position my dollars from an income standpoint, segregating the assets between front-end income accounts and then aggressive accounts, then go on RiseInRetirement.com, schedule that 30-minute phone appointment. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe with today's video. Drop us a comment below if you want to share your scenario there. If you have a question, we're monitoring those comments all the time, so we'd love to hear from you. And we're out of time for today. So until next time, we'll see you right back here on Rise in Retirement.